Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Rob G being on the other side of the glass, he is as excited as anyone in this building because he believes, as do I and many others, that Kawhi Leonard is joining the Lakers. In addition to being happy because he's a Laker fan, he also, if this happens, will get chicken wings from me. Now, he thinks he's going to act all plugged in and like Kawhi himself told him he was coming to the Lakers, but it really was just a guess. But I thought he was going to the Clippers. I think, Rob, you think thought the same thing? Most of the year, I thought he was going to the Clippers, if not staying. I didn't really think he's going to stay at all, but in Toronto.
Yeah, I thought it was the Clippers. I really thought they had the inside track, but I guess not. I guess it doesn't matter.
We'll
I'm not mentioning the wings that I owe you, Rob G. I don't care. I'm not giving you 40 wings. I'm going to give you one at a time.
No.
I'm going to give it to you one at a time for 40 days.
Didn't somebody give you 300 wings?
600.
600 wings. So you only have to give 40. That's nothing.
I'm going to give him his 40. Is there something wrong with that?
Yeah,
one at a time?
So we can all eat him.
I'll bring him.
So he only gets like
Rob
five.
G, you don't want him one day. I do have something to eat for 40 straight days.
What? Intern Jonah gave me a good idea. I want the Bobby Bonilla deferment package.
And see, there you go.
So I'll end up with like 55 wings instead of 40 from you, which would be nice.
No, you know what? You would wind up getting like you know, wings for the next, 15 years? Is that the way the Mets did it? Because the original deal was $5.9 million, and the Mets will wind up paying them like 50-something million, right? Isn't it?
That's
35?
Ridiculous.
Like
that
35. It was 5.9, and they deferred it. They owe them $35 million. What kind of math is that?
And you wonder why they haven't won a World Series.
Since 86.
Right.
They suck.
That's right.
All right. But anyway, Rob G is all excited. And, you know, we'll see if this happens. I've been told by some people that they're 85, 90% sure it's going to happen. One person very close to it said Kawhi has not made a decision yet. So we will just have to wait and see. I do think he's joining the Lakers, as I said. And, Rob, you've got an interesting take that if this does happen, and it'll be LeBron and Anthony Davis and Kawhi Leonard with the Lakers, that this would be terrible. We both said it's not the best thing for competitive balance in the NBA. That's for certain. But you think it would be terrible, and you have an interesting take on it. Why? Do share.
I just think it'll be worse than what we went through. We've been through that with the Miami thing when they went there, and not two, not three, and all that. And everybody was like, okay, we'll see how this works out. And I don't think it's been the greatest thing for the league. Everybody complained. All the Laker fans, including Rob G, who all bellyache when we saw the second version of it, was when Golden State picked up KD, and then all those Laker fans all bellyached about how terrible this is, and it ain't fair. Who wants to watch this? And now here they are embracing exactly what they hated. So here we are. We're going to have an NBA. We're seeing a third version of this, thinking that what happened with Toronto, where they did it the old-fashioned way, where they went out and they traded their superstar for another superstar. They didn't get something without having to give up something. So they did that. They took a gamble on a guy, and they also added pieces through trades, not forming a super team, and they won a championship. So I thought that was going to be the magical elixir to say it can be done. If the Lakers were going to go out and just do the thing, right? They made a trade. They gave up their players. They get AD. And they go with that group and try to win. Fine. Fine. Because they had to give up something to get AD. But to then go out and get the best player currently playing in the league who just won a championship and is that guy who everybody's saying is that guy, because we saw what he did this year with no
Kawhi,
lottery players.
Right.
I'm talking about Kawhi. To go from that to revisiting this again, and all I get, I told you this before, my cousin Mike, nothing but a Laker fan. I guess I'm not going to watch basketball for the next 2 years. I get from everybody, I'm talking about fans who just are basketball fans. They don't want to see it.
They don't want to see it.
That's what I get. I'm talking about the people that I know, right, who are basketball fans. Don't want to see it. They're like bummed out. Here we go again. Lopsided.
Are they Laker fans?
Competitive. No, my cousin is.
And he's not excited about
it. He said, it means I'm not going to watch the Lakers for the next 2 years. That's what he texts me. I could show it to you.
You and I.
He's like, he is a big little cousin Mike. I told you this before. Remember, I think I brought him up to you before. But he's a basketball fan. He's a Laker fan. He didn't want LeBron James when he first came here.
Well, who's he
and
want?
Now he doesn't want. He's, I mean, he, what, like, maybe he was just a big Kobe fan.
He don't sound
fan.
Like a Laker fan to me.
He's a Laker fan.
Look, here's the deal. We talked about it last week. In terms of competitive balance, yeah, it will mess up that to a degree. Like, if Kawhi stays in Toronto or goes to the Clippers, we've got roughly 10 teams that will enter next season with legitimate chances or hopes to win a championship.
And that sounds great, right?
Well, it sounds great for a year or two. But historically, what has been proven is that dynasties, juggernauts, dominant teams are good for the business of sports, in this case, basketball. In the 1980s, five teams reached the finals the entire decade. The Lakers, the Celtics, the Sixers, the Rockets, and the Pistons. And it's viewed as the golden era of basketball, resurrected the NBA. In the 90s, it was Michael Jordan dominating. And then when he left, Houston won it twice. And it was a great decade of basketball. Obviously, the Jordan era was huge. So I'm with you, Rob. I would like to see this 1 year or two where it was just wide open. But then I'd like to get back to the great teams. I think, like, in the 70s, you had eight teams actually win NBA titles. In 10 years, eight teams won crowns. And it's the worst decade in NBA history.
Yeah, but
we talked about it before. That's when the league was on tape delay. The finals were on tape delay.
But it had a lot of other issues. It wasn't just because it was spread around.
But still,
the league was a drug-infested league that people turned off to. That's really, if you go back to the NBA and the Phoenix Suns had
It wasn't just that. You had some great players playing in that
era. Yeah, it was
different. You had
different.
Dr. J. It was a different era. You had Bill Walton. I mean, you had great. So my point is just that I get what you're saying about the competitive balance. But if Kawhi goes to the Lakers, this is going to be good for basketball. It's going to be good for the business of basketball. When LeBron went to Miami, people boo-hooed, people criticized him. It was not fair, but it was a great story. People had to see what was going on in training camp. People had to watch that team play. How's Wade and LeBron going to fit together? And even if you wanted to watch them, to hate them, to see them fail, it put eyeballs on the game, and I think this would do the same thing. But now, on the flip side, to your point, we're going to pretty much know the Lakers are getting to the finals, or they should be dominant. It's a little different from Golden State because we got to see how these pieces fit. But those three are so good, they should be dominant. And so for a year or two, yeah, I'd like to see, 10 teams. Are the Clippers going to make it? Is the Utah Jazz? Are the Nuggets? The Blazers? Is this their year? The Lakers? Will AD and LeBron get it done? Can Golden State come back and surprise everybody even without KD? Like, all that would have been nice. And then who wins the East? But only for a year or two. Then I want a juggernaut. And I just think ultimately, though, it's going to be good for the business of basketball if this happens.
I think we saw fatigue with the Warriors. You know, the ratings go look. I'm not saying that they fell off the map, but there's a fatigue thing of the same teams always getting there. And I don't know. And it's in a lot of sports. It's not just the Patriots. The NFL Super Bowl ratings were the worst ratings in 10 years. Now, that doesn't mean that nobody watched. But there's a fatigue. The Patriots have made it six, seven times. You go, okay, already. You know, like, we understand it. And sometimes you think people would be loving it to see, Brady. How could you not want to see Brady win another Super Bowl? My God, we're watching one of the greatest quarterbacks
in
history.
That was what I wanted to see.
But yeah, I'm just saying,
history made.
But the ratings were down. It was like a 10-year low. And I'm just saying, there's a fatigue factor that I think people do fall in line with.
But
sometimes.
Here's the thing, Rob.
That's all
like
I'm saying.
You start off by saying, you know, the Lakers, they're going to go out now, get the arguably the best player in the league to go with LeBron and AD and blah, blah. Here's the thing. What would you have them do? I mean, I don't think you're blaming the Lakers, right? Like, they're supposed to try to be as great as they can. They're not supposed to worry about is it fair or not.
That's not – I'm not
– So, who do you blame?
Of course, Kawhi Leonard will lose all that he gained from this year. There'll be a lot of people after this goes down, if it goes down, whatever – who won't look at Kawhi the same way. I think Kawhi is like was a throwback. He was so different from most players and just wanted to play, and he wasn't caught up in all this. And nobody believed, very few, that he was interested in that, being a part of something like that. And I'm just saying,
I don't know if anybody believed that. You're right.
All right. I think that people who really looked at him was like, dude, this guy's a throwback. He just kind of wants the ball. You even said it. You brought it up about – he never like looked at his team and goes, I can't play with these guys.
Right.
There's nobody. Well, I'm with the Raptors.
He
just played.
Right.
He just played with whoever was there, and they won a championship. And it was so refreshing. It was so different. And
well,
now
it was refreshing because you picked the Raptors in six. Well, it was refreshing.
Well, it was refreshing. But I'm just saying, when you look at all that, and then to think that he's just going along with what's happened, his AAU mentality of the NBA. I just lump him in with everybody
else
after this.
But here's the thing. To me, Kawhi's a made man. He's beyond reproach at this moment. Because of just what you said. Like, you may criticize him, but he certainly can't be criticized like Kevin Durant was when he went to Golden State, or even like LeBron was when he went to Miami. You agree with that?
I just think
he's not a ring chasing bandwagon guy, you know.
But I think he will lose some of his, I don't know. I don't want to call folklore, but just the way he seemed to be different.
And that's what made his image to you.
His image. He's not the guy. He's not the guy I thought he was.
All right, Skip.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The other big fish, and he would be just as big as Kawhi if he were healthy, is, of course, Kevin Durant. And he has gone from the Golden State Warriors to the Brooklyn Nets to leave Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green and play with his buddy Kyrie Irving and DeAndre Jordan, his buddies, I should say, because they're all close. And Kendrick Perkins, who played with KD in Oklahoma City, and Kendrick is making a name for himself on the broadcasting front, Rob. Kendrick makes news.
Well, but the thing is, we talk to former athletes all the time. We're trying to get into this business and doing. We always say, you got to have something to say. Just that you played isn't enough.
Right.
Okay? And that's no knock on you or your ability or what you were able to do. But this is an information business. That's what this is. So if you're going to sit there and you have like...
Or opinion.
You
got
to have something
opinion.
To say. Absolutely. Right. You got to have something to say. And that's the big part.
Yep. And he does. He doesn't hold back. He doesn't mince words. He doesn't hold his tongue. I guess when you're 6'10", 320 or whatever he is, you can do that. But he was one of the tougher guys in the league. So he's not worried about what people say. And recently, yesterday, I believe, an article came out in The Undefeated, and Kendrick had a lot of things to say about KD's situation. Rob G.?
That's right, he did, Chris. But let me just give you some context first. He was responding to something an anonymous source had said about KD, saying, quote, all that showed a lack of respect for one of the greatest players to put the uniform on. The fact he took all that abuse and still put his career on the line to help them win. To which Kendrick kind of doubled down and said, I think KD's going to do great. Finally, he has his own team. It was time for him to leave Golden State. They were taking him for granted, end quote.
All right. So do you think that Kendrick is right? Let me say this. I think that they did. I don't think they disrespected KD. Obviously, Draymond disrespected him. There's no doubt about
said,
that.
When you could say, we don't need you.
And called him the B word and all that. I mean, you and I have disagreements. We're not going at each other like that.
No, that's...
And so that was obviously disrespectful. And beyond the face value of it, I mean, just having somebody call you the B word several times and say, we don't need you and leave and all that.
Leave! Right. Get out of here! We don't leave!
Beyond that, it really cut KD to the core, because I've been told that when he was there, the whole time for the most part, he felt there was this feeling, this sense of the franchise feeling like we saved you. We're the reason you're a champion. Now, I don't think they said that. I don't think they even did anything that, you know, necessarily to make him feel that
wasn't
way.
Wasn't it the GM,
but he
too?
He sensed it. Don't well, yeah, the second parade, GM Bob Myers, who was joking. Right. He was totally joking. But
you know, in jest, though, right. There's some truth to stuff. And I think that would cut me a little bit, you know, to say, oh, that's what you think of me?
And
you know
you're
what
not
I mean?
Even as sensitive as Kevin Durant. Right. So somebody as sensitive as him. And we're talking about when somebody had said, hey, last year you signed Steph to this huge deal. Is KD next? And Bob Myers, the GM, I'm paraphrasing, but he joked, well, that was different. Steph was here from the beginning. KD's not, you know.
Right, and you're talking about the Masot.
Right.
The most sensitive of all time.
Right,
I'm talking about
KD.
KD, so that where he would feel like,
they're taking
did he just
me,
say
right,
that?
Right, right. And beyond that, Rob, it blew up on social media and regular media. And people made it a big story. And so KD, yeah, I'm sure that cut him to the core. But feeling like that feeling like they think they made me, they think they saved me, they think I need them. And then for Draymond to just flat out say it, I think that all cut him to the core. But this is the thing I'd say, Rob. I don't think they did it on purpose. I don't think they disrespected him. The thing KD was feeling was inevitable.
Well, when you join
go,
something,
right? When you go to the best, a team that won a championship just a year before.
We talked about it.
A team that won 73 games. A team that had every reason, and I'm sure felt like if Draymond doesn't get suspended, we're two-time champions. A team that had beaten his team in the conference finals, come back from 3-1 down. You're not going to get the ultimate respect just because – of course they're going to feel to like they did it without you.
Right. And it's just
I think if LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, any of them had gone there just like Durant, it would have been the same thing. They were already established.
And you also have to remember too, the unique part of that team was the three of them were drafted there.
Right.
That's a big part. It was organic. So they were all they're all original Warriors.
They weren't there
for like, oh, okay, like they just all came together, they put it together. No, they drafted us, they made a great draft selection, you know, getting Draymond in the second round, right?
Yep.
And they all coming together and winning a championship. So you're always going to be different because you came in after the fact.
No question.
And so it was inevitable. I agree with that.
Now, look. He proved and showed and proved to everyone on that team in practice and in games that he was the best player on the team. And they knew it. They all said it during the final. You could tell during the playoffs after he got hurt, he was their best player and they knew it. But that's not the issue. It was never going, no matter how great Kevin Durant was, it wasn't going to become his team instead of Steph.
Never.
It's like if Larry Bird had gone to the Showtime Lakers in the mid-'80s.
Never happened.
Right? But Bird, no matter how great he would have been, no matter how many more titles they would have won, no matter if Magic and Kareem and Worthy were saying, oh, this dude's the man, he's the best player on our team, it would not have been Larry Bird's team.
Totally.
And that's what Kevin Durant felt. And I think that's a part of the reason he had to get out of there.
Yeah, and I think his time had come and gone. And I think the way that it all wound up, especially, okay, so the winning the two championships, being a finals MVP, and then the whole Draymond Green situation, and then the whole thing about he's a luxury, they don't even need him. You know, that talk, right. You can act like it doesn't matter, he hadn't hear that. He heard all that. Because there was a lot of people talking about it, so he was like, oh, okay. And then he decides, I'm going to try to give it my all, try to come back, because all the whispering and all the talk, not even whispering, because they were quoted as like, we're frustrated. Right, but we're frustrated. We don't know what's going on. We're confused, blah, 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 blah. So then he goes, okay, wait a minute. So he goes out there, gets hurt. And then you're going to be salty after that, right? Aren't you going to be salty?
Well, I don't think... And now, from what I know, none of us know exactly what happened. My feeling is that Kevin Durant and his doctor, Steve Kerr said his personal doctor was involved. I think they knew everything the Warriors knew. If indeed the Warriors knew it was an Achilles rather than a calf strain, I think KD knew. If they thought it was a calf strain and nothing more serious, I think that's what KD
But the
thought.
Only way, the only pushback I have for you on that, and I hear, is what Steve Kerr said afterwards, which was, I was led to believe that he couldn't hurt it that anymore. And I'm saying, you're right, if he had a doctor look at it, a doctor
that's
has to be involved.
If he didn't have his own doctor.
But do you know what I'm like? But for Steve Kerr to even say that.
Right.
Which might have been the thought in the room or whatever, then shame on the doctor who signed off on
all
that.
The
that's
doctors.
Right.
The Warriors doctor
and his
doctor.
Am I right?
Right. No
because
question.
Because Steve Kerr shouldn't.
I don't know how. I mean,
Steve
we're not doctors, and we could sit there and say
he can't hurt it.
Right.
Why couldn't he hurt it
again,
anymore?
Right.
That was the only part. It's like I can't understand how Steve Kerr could come out of a meeting or having a conversation with the doctors and the trainers or whatever and say. Well, I was led to believe that he couldn't hurt it anymore. That was his. So that's why putting him in the game.
But I don't think KD can. I don't think KD has a legitimate gripe. If what I think is true.
I think his gripe is just it's not.
It's not a gripe about playing in the finals. I'm saying he can have a gripe about the other stuff.
But you could have
disrespect or feeling of disrespect.
Yeah, and then. I tried my darndest to come back and play, and then I wound up getting hurt. And it just, like, the whole situation, like,
right.
Like they said Draymond said they don't need me, whatever, whatever. All right, we go there, we get to the final, I have a chance to win again.
Right.
I get hurt. I try to give my all for the team because I believe in trying to win and be a team player and all this. And then I did all that, and I wound up getting hurt. You know, that's
no,
what
I
mean.
Get,
you
get,
can sour on the whole thing, but not totally just the doctor thing, but the whole situation.
But and here's the ironic thing, Rob. I feel like Kevin Durant, and we had talked about it, if they had won this championship this year and won three straight and he never gets hurt, or if they had won the championship without him when he got hurt, I kind of feel like, of course, outside of his own just personal desire to stay there or whatever, I felt like legacy-wise, he had to leave. He had to go somewhere else, prove you can lead your own team.
Because, right, there's always going to be that.
There was always going to be that.
I get it.
But the way things played out, as unfortunate as they were, I felt like that was to a large degree, not completely, but to a large degree, that was dispelled a bit. Like, yeah, okay, still went to this great team that didn't really need him at the time. But they didn't win the championship without him. Injuries, whatever. They didn't win it.
They didn't win.
And he showed so much heart and courage by going out there and playing. And they clearly knew as players how much they needed him. Like, I actually think now, if he had gone back to Golden State, he would have been like, I don't think people would have really been holding that against him anymore. That, oh, you know, they don't need you. You went to this great juggle. You know, I think it would have been a little different.
No.
The narrative would have been a little different.
Well, I think so because they didn't win.
Right.
And they
like
know.
Like every
and
championship
everybody,
after that, it would have been like KD would have been just as big a part of it as everybody
right.
else.
Right. And I think it's fair to say, I think most people believe, I know I do, that if he was healthy, they would have won the championship again. I have no doubt whatsoever.
No,
so I think people kind of figure that out.
Right, right.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
We are all on Kawhi Leonard watch. waiting to see what he decides to do. I'm thinking an announcement will be coming tomorrow. We'll see, maybe later today, but it's already 9 o'clock Eastern. So maybe tomorrow is the day we will find out what Kawhi is going to do. Now, I do have a little information to update things. I am told by several sources that Kawhi did meet with the Clippers last night. They met at a restaurant. It was a dinner meeting, and he met with Doc Rivers and a few assistant coaches from the Clippers. And then Steve Ballmer and Jerry West showed up a little bit later. They made their pitch. They did. I'm sure it was a great pitch, but I'm being told it was good, but very likely did not sway Kawhi Leonard from what I'm told is his first choice, which is the LA Lakers. I'm also told that he plans to meet. He's already met with LeBron, and that he plans to meet with LeBron and Anthony Davis again. Does he have more questions, or is this kind of to seal the deal? We will find out at some point, but that's kind of the latest on the Kawhi Leonard situation. Again, I am being told by many people that the Lakers are the heavy favorite. The Lakers are the favorites. But there is at least one person close to Kawhi. I think Kawhi's camp, and I actually think the teams themselves, are trying to really keep the news at a minimum. Kawhi obviously is a very private guy, and I think they're trying to keep this stuff very quiet, very low, but stuff leaks, of course. So that's an update on the situation with Kawhi Leonard. And Rob, speaking of Kawhi, if he goes to the Lakers with Anthony Davis and LeBron James, this will kind of be the third, correct me, am I missing one, but the third manifestation of a player-generated super team. The first player-generated. There were super teams, we both agree, long before the Miami Heat of LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh. I mean, the Showtime Lakers, a super team. The Bird Celtics, a super team.
But I don't look at them like that.
Well, because they weren't player-generated.
No, but it's not just that. It's that they were more organic.
That's what
all.
I mean. Organic is the team drafts
right,
you. They
that's
trade
all I'm saying,
for you.
Right.
Player-generated, I mean by players sitting down together and determining themselves. Let's set it up so we can go here together. We can go there together. That's what I mean. I mean, there have been super – heck – This might not even be the best big three of all time. I mean, in terms of talent, because the Lakers had a big three in the late 60s, early 70s of Wilt Chamberlain, Jerry West, and Elgin Baylor. And they won one title in 4 years. And in fact, they didn't win it with Elgin Baylor. He got hurt, played 10 games that year, and then they won it without him. So there have been many big threes and super teams throughout NBA history. But in 2010, LeBron James invented what I'll call the player-generated super team. And then, as Rob Parker so aptly says, LeBron started MySpace and Kevin Durant started Facebook. And he took it one giant step further than LeBron James and went to Golden State, and that was a heck of a super team. And this is probably, I'm going to say, if Kawhi goes to the Lakers, will be that third iteration of the player-generated super team, and you don't like it, Rob.
It's just that from a competitive standpoint, and the other thing is, that's really where I'm from, just the competitive standpoint. Because if that's the case, if players just want to generate, we don't need to have a draft. We don't need to do any of that. Just let people decide where they want to play. Screw the draft.
Well, there are people now
I'm just trying to
get rid of the draft.
Yeah, get rid of the draft. The draft is an illegal concept anyway, other than with the collective bargaining agreement. People have
other
no
than
idea.
A situation like sports.
But you sign off on that. You give up your rights to do that. That somebody's going to send you to go work somewhere that you don't want to go.
Right.
All right? So that's let's understand that. But I'm saying from this standpoint, I know you like to think that LeBron has like done something like in from the standpoint that he's like a trailblazer in a positive way for players to look at their own future and handle their own thing. And I don't disagree.
I think he's showing, and not to cut you off, I believe LeBron James has broadened the horizons of NBA players and perhaps athletes in other sports to control your own destiny.
But
I've never seen in team sports in American history a player have this type of control over his own destiny, and now other players are going along with it. Anthony Davis demands to be traded to the Lakers. Kawhi Leonard moves out of San Antonio, now perhaps headed to the Lakers. The only athlete I can compare it to, Rob, is Floyd Mayweather promoting his own fights. So he gets way more money than the other guy because he has that control. So I think LeBron, now he's not going to pass Michael Jordan as the GOAT on the court. I don't care if they win 4 championships with Kawhi. I just don't. Basketball player Jordan's number one. But as far as this type of boss, like we remember the concept of player coach. Lenny Wilkins, Bill Russell were player coaches, etc. LeBron is like a player CEO, a player GM, and we've never seen that. And that is, it's to another level. It's like he's playing checkers or chess and everybody else is playing checkers.
But the difference I feel is LeBron James, that has nothing to do with NBA players. It's just about LeBron and his own situation of wanting a stacked deck. Now, he might be doing it, but he's not blazing a trail because he thinks players should have freedom and they should determine their own. LeBron James wants a stacked deck so that he can win. That's what he feels best about. No, I believe. And then other guys,
you think it's complete selfishness.
It's complete selfishness. Now, other guys, when people started complaining, well, the Warriors, that's not fair. KD went to the Warriors, that's not fair. But that's what LeBron's doing. That's why I always say the MySpace and the Facebook. Because
right.
LeBron.
It's a good simile or
right.
metaphor.
Because LeBron thought when he first did it that he was going to do it. We're going to win, not one, not two. We're going to win all these championships. And then he didn't realize. And then so later on, he got stung by it
right.
because somebody one-upped him. And he lost those championships
right.
because he couldn't beat these teams that were put together. So I find it to be, I thought it was very ironic that he wound
it
up
was.
Losing and it wound up hurting him because he started it. But I do believe that it's not of some visionary idea that LeBron was like, I'm going to liberate the players. I'm going to show players their Declaration of Independence. I'm the guy who put this together, and this is what players should do. It was selfish on his part because he never believed in himself early on in Cleveland. I've told you this, and you agree with me. I believe if he stayed there in Cleveland, he would have won a championship.
He was good enough.
He was good enough. He was good enough, and I believe that.
And for his basketball legacy, which obviously is going to be great anyway, it would have been greater.
Right.
Had
he stayed there,
no doubt.
And eventually he came back and won. But that was my point always, and I just think it wasn't by design. It was by his own selfishness of what he wanted because deep down, and I say this all the time with no disrespect, to Charles Barkley is a great player. He just didn't want to be that. He was afraid that he was going to be this great player with all this stuff and all these accolades and that he wasn't going to win a championship, and he just couldn't live with himself that he was going to be that guy. So that's why he bailed, even though they got to the finals in 2007 with a team
right.
that shouldn't have been there, even though he had all these stats, all this stuff going on, he just was fearful.
Look, obviously, there was an element of wanting to win championships. No question about it. And I do think you're right. In 2010, when he and Wade and Bosch put together that super team, I do think the main thing, I don't think he was seeing it like I said. I think he was like, look, let's put this team together. I kept running into this big three in Boston without any stars on my side. I need some stars. Let's put this team together and run the league. But I think as he grew, I'm with you. Initially, that wasn't a thought. But over time, I do think he's matured. His vision has gotten larger, and he has become this guy that doesn't, and this is from talking with people close to LeBron. I've done a lot of stories on him for magazines, sit down interviews, all that. And I do believe now, and within the past several years, he has gotten a bigger vision. I keep hearing from him. He doesn't look at Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, as I'm competing with them. Now, obviously, on the court, he competes with them and tries to win. But they're always saying it's bigger than this. It's bigger than basketball. They want to teach players how to take control of their own destiny and not just let the owner send them here, send them there. But you go where you want to go. And his work off the court kind of speaks to that. I mean, hey, LeBron James went with his guy, one of his best friends, who didn't even graduate from college, Rich Paul. Let alone be a lawyer like most agents. And he set up Rich Paul as his agent. Rich trained, went through Nike, worked for Leon Rose, CAA as an agent. And then LeBron hired him himself, and now Rich Paul is arguably the most powerful agent in the world. Maverick Carter with the business mogul he's become for LeBron in Hollywood. And you see Kevin Durant doing the same thing. Steph Curry is executive producing movies now. Kyrie Irving is setting up his own media company. These guys are following that. And I just think that same mentality that LeBron has off the court. And remember who is a mentor early in his career? Jay-Z. Jay-Z's done the same thing in hip-hop. Jay-Z hasn't ended up like one of these great rappers who all they did was rap. He became a business mogul. He used his rapping ability to turn himself into one of the wealthiest African-Americans in the world.
Yeah, but I think LeBron
learned a lot from him and is kind of taking it to the basketball
I'll
world.
Give you that off the court, but when you talk about the players have always had free agency and could move, and normally it would be for the most money, wherever you would want to go. But I do believe that, like, people do follow the guy who's the main guy. So what I'm saying is, LeBron also started when he started taking games off, and then Steph Curry took games off.
Well, I would say Popovich started
that. No, I mean, he started it, but once LeBron embraced it, people followed. If the best player in the league is willing to take 8 games off a year, it ain't the end of the world. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Whereas during the other era, and we could just – and Michael Jordan's era, he played every game. There was no such thing. Take a game off if you're not hurt. There was no such thing. So I'm saying LeBron from the business side, I agree with you. But I think all the other stuff was totally about LeBron, and then they just normally – people decided to follow. They follow the leader. The leader of the league at this point is LeBron James.
Like, Rob, and obviously, you know, I'm talking to people. If the Lakers get Kawhi, the two main people that Lakers fans should thank are LeBron James and Magic Johnson. That is who's getting this done.
No, I thought it was Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka.
I mean, they going to rip the benefit. I'm telling you. It is going to be LeBron James and Magic Johnson. And that is powerful. So, you know, again, LeBron has set himself up to have these stacked teams. It's been with this big three. And if he went, so that's where I think Michael Jordan's going to have a big end for LeBron when it comes to just basketball. And Jordan, let's not cut him short either. He was wasn't the mastermind behind it. Jordan sneakers, Jordan brand. Now he's an owner.
So he hasn't played in 15 years.
So he did great as well, but he didn't take as much control of his situation.
And even
as
though I've
has.
Bought like 20 pair of Jordans this summer,
you yourself have kept him in
Michael Jordan that Christmas gift every year, and then not Jordan.